insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'd like to thank you for joining our program to get the blessing of understanding, inshallah, a few more of the verses of the Holy Quran. First, let's hear the verses.
Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون.
We arrive to at verse 48, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, after telling them that they should remember the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing that they need to do, which is, as I said before, a reminder for us, is to beware of the day. This day is the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it in this verse, briefly going over some of the descriptions that were already explained in previous sessions. It says, when no soul shall compensate for another, no one can take anybody's place in that punishment. Even if both parties want it, that's not going to be happening. Neither any intercession shall be accepted from it. We explained in previous sessions what this meant, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the intercession that you're used to in this life, where you could commit all the crimes in the world, but you have someone to pull strings for you, they will do so, and you will be escaping all types of punishment. That's not going to be the case in the hereafter. But again, just quickly saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not denying the concept of intercession completely. He says that type of intercession is not going to be the case. It's not going to be existing on the Day of Judgment. We will not have that. But there is a legitimate and valid intercession that will be taking place on the Day of Judgment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in other verses. One of the other descriptions that's mentioned in this verse is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ, nor any ransom shall be received from it. In other words, you don't have anything in the Day of Judgment. Let me explain it first, how we have it in this life, and then we can explain what is the case in the hereafter. In this life, I may be committing a crime, causing a lot of damage to a person, to his property, to his life, to his family. Then when I'm put or taken to court and I'm convicted, sometimes, or maybe a lot of times, people can actually buy their sentence. They can go to the person that they have oppressed, for example, and say, I'll pay this much. Instead of my imprisonment, instead of spending my life imprisoned, I'll give you my mansion. I'll give you this much property. I'll give you that. I'll give you all these different things. Okay. Sometimes it is the case that it's accepted. Sometimes the courts accept it. Okay. You can actually replace the punishment with something you have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Day of Judgment, you don't have any of that. If we look at it, on the Day of Judgment, brothers and sisters, we will not have anything with us that we can actually replace with the crimes that we have done. We don't have anything. The only thing we have with us are going to be the actions that we've done. If they're good, then we have something with us. If they're not good, we don't have anything with us. And this is referring to the side, to the wrong deeds. Bad deeds. I've done bad deeds. I don't have anything to replace that with. There is nothing that could be replaced. وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ Nor will they be helped. On that day, there is nobody that can help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on that day, Allah's sovereignty will be displayed in its fullest extent. We will be seeing Allah's sovereignty the way it really is. Let me explain that a little bit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sovereign in this life as well. Nobody has got any power in this life except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed them, has given them that power. However, in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to do a lot of things. He's allowed us to do wrong deeds. That's where the free will comes from. We can do good deeds, we can do bad deeds. Now, even when we do wrong, that's not outside the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not doing that with somebody else's power. We're not doing that with a body that was created by somebody else. We're using that body that was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is existing by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will not exist for a single second or even a split second without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. We're committing that sin with this body. So even in this life, the only sovereign, the only one that truly has the power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, because we deal with the material world, we deal with the laws that have been put, the physical laws. If you do a certain thing, then you have a consequence of that. But they don't really deal with the actions that we do. I could do something, no one would even know about it. No other human being, no one that could punish me in this life is going to know about it. So I'm used to that. We're used to that. I do something, I don't see the punishment. On the day of judgment, we will be actually witnessing that very closely. We'll be seeing only that. You cannot make a move. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you. And it's not like this life that you can move, do whatever you want. Even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you not to do that, not to fornicate, not to steal, not to do this, you can do it, but He just said, don't do it. On the day of judgment, if He says, don't do it, you cannot do it. You just don't have the power to do it. So on that day, nobody has the power to help anyone else, except for if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it, which is the issue that we explained in intercession. Next verse, in verse 49, in the following verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to expand on what we mentioned in verse 47. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, remember the blessings. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to explain to them the blessings, to remind them. He says,
وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يسومونكم سوء العذاب يذبحون أبناءكم ويستحيون نساءكم وفي ذلكم بلاء من ربكم عظيم.
And when, or in other words, and remember when we delivered you from Pharaoh's clan, who inflicted a terrible torment on you and slaughtered your sons and spared your women. And in that, there was a great test from your Lord. So it explains firstly what was happening to these people before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the blessing of Prophet Musa or Moses. It says, remember those days. You were being oppressed and tortured by the people of Pharaoh, the clan of Pharaoh. They were oppressing you. They had all the rights in that country and in Egypt, and you had no right at all. They could kill your sons. This is what they would do. They would kill the sons. They would kill the males, but keep alive the women as slaves to do whatever they want with them and ask them to do whatever they wish. So this is the punishment that was given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that was a test from your Lord. بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ That was a test. How would you react to that situation? After that, what happened was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a prophet to guide these people. Now, the point that is mentioned in verse 50 about this process where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophet is where they were relieved of the oppression that was going on by the clan of Pharaoh. He says,
وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ
And when we parted the sea with you, and we delivered you and drowned Pharaoh's clan as you looked on. You all were watching, you saw this. First, you were being oppressed by Pharaoh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a prophet. He guided you. And after you listened to him, he actually freed you and relieved you of the pains and punishments that Pharaoh's clan put upon you through a means that was very unusual so that you would realize that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to emphasize this point again. This life, anything that happens, all these blessings are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings upon us. We shouldn't forget that. I want to use that verse 47, to remind us, brothers and sisters, we need to remember the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those blessings are not only things like what this verse says, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala splits the sea for a tribe to pass through, and then when Pharaoh wants to go through, the walls, walls of water collapse, and the Pharaoh and his clan are all drowned. That's not the only type of blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people. We shouldn't be looking for that. Every single thing that we have, everything that's good in our lives that we have, that's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a direct blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. We shouldn't look at it in that way. So let's remember that. But in this particular example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split the seas. Now this is a blessing